How do you tell a story when you don't have the words to describe what happened? It's been said that the body never forgets, even when words fail us. What if you embraced your body's memories and used them to tell your story?
I believe really that our bodies speak for us, and we, you know, use our mental awareness to express, but then all of these emotional life that is in our bodies, it stays there.
This is Dream City, a podcast series from Feet in Two Worlds. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez. For Mircea Misijević, dancing has always been her solace and her voice. As a performer and choreographer, she uses movement to reveal her struggle for identity and self-determination.
I don't have to say a word in the work that I'm making currently. Bosnian-born, she's a refugee star.
Bosnian-born, she's a refugee star. Using choreography, music, and film, Mircea's latest piece examines her cultural heritage, the harrowing experience of leaving Bosnia, and the challenges of making her way as a refugee across Europe to the U.S.
Because, you know, everything that's so raw and it's hard also for me sometimes to comprehend that all happened.
With Bosnian Born, the emotional force of Mircea's memories is mapped on her own body.
I'm like doing my plié, and I'm interested more in how does my pubic bone is in conversation with the top of my head, and my sitting bones are in conversation with my shoulder blades, and sending my shoulder blade in opposition to my sitting bone, I can really map my spine and my organs internally, and I can create all this space, and then I'm in relationship to the space around me.
As we keep going, I'm gonna give you another prompt.
In a large, airy studio on the west side of Manhattan, Mircea and members of her dance company, Cirque Debris, are moving through the space. Many of their actions look like ballet, but then they might crouch low or bend at strange angles and writhe on the floor.
In the space that's surrounding us, I want you really to find a way to create a relationship to it.
In Mircea's class, flowing gestures transform into taut positions before melting back into loose, open lines. The contrast is part of embodiment. It's a form of movement research she developed to help herself and other dancers find new ways to move their bodies.
When she moves, you can clearly see like the joy and like the freedom that she feels from movement.
Yuki Fukui is Cirque Debris' rehearsal director.
There's still like something in her that's being very hungry. Like, you need that drive to be an artist in New York City, definitely.
Even at a young age, Mircea knew she wanted to dance. Like so many little girls, she put on leotards and ballet shoes, hoping to excel at dance school.
You know, being at the bar in a ballet class and going through all these very formulated, systematic exercises, that was my safe haven. So being told that the way I'm executing these things were not the way I'm supposed to was very interesting. I couldn't understand the way that I was approached as a student by teachers throughout a lot of my younger years.
That was in Sweden, where Mircea and her family landed after fleeing their native Bosnia. Her teachers never really understood what made her different from the other fledgling ballerinas in her class, the stress of what she had survived.
I can say, you know, my last memories of being on the bus, actually running out from our apartment on the last bus from the city before it shut down. Remember my mother lying over us, four children. They had promised a clear path for the refugee bus, but they were shooting on the bus.
Mircea used to live with her family in Mostar.
The cultural capital, I like that, of Bosnia, a city situated on the Emerald Green River.
Mircea's parents, both professors, were raising their kids in this diverse Bosnian cultural capital, home to the famous Stari Most Bridge built by the Ottomans, and many examples of Islamic and Christian architecture. But when Bosnia and Herzegovina declared independence from Yugoslavia in 1992, Mostar became the site of some of the most vicious fighting of the Bosnian War. As a young child, Mircea wasn't shielded from the escalating hostilities around her. There was no way to hide the artillery fire and the bombing or soften the feelings of terror.
Both of my parents are educators who always made sure that we knew what was happening and didn't want their children to live in a sort of illusion and not understanding the war. A lot of people don't know that, you know, this was a really raw, crazy war where my grandmother was killed and raped, and she was turning away soldiers from our 9th floor apartment in the city center of Mostar. And they wanted to go upstairs to shoot on civilians, and she was turning them away, and that led to her execution.
Mircea managed to escape from the city with her mother and siblings before Mostar was shut down and the worst of the bloodshed occurred.
And right after that, my dad was taken to concentration camp from our apartment.
After 3 years of genocide in Bosnia, hundreds of thousands of people were killed and over 2 million displaced. Mircea's family escaped north without their father. Granted asylum in Sweden, they were one of the first refugee families in their new neighborhood. Adjusting to a more homogeneous society exposed Mircea to racial, ethnic, and religious tension. Mircea's family are atheists, but they're of Muslim heritage. They learned to speak Swedish, but their accents and darker looks made them stick out. Mircea was called names and felt isolated. But she credits her mother for her stiff backbone and determination to go back to school, find work, and rebuild their lives.
You know, my mother is an extraordinary person. I always felt, oh my God, I hope I never get to make choice that she made. She had really tough circumstances. And as tough as circumstances I had, I feel like my life has been easier compared to hers.
But there were some losses that not even her mother could fix.
So my dad was one of the last survivors coming out of the camp, so we didn't really hear from him and know about what had happened to him. But he came to visit in 1997 to Sweden, which was really amazing. He never moved to Sweden.
After surviving the violence of the prison camps, Mircea says her father didn't rejoin his family because he was older now, and starting over was too much. He would not be able to teach mathematics the way he used to, not be able to provide like he used to. He stayed in Bosnia. With her parents' separation and the transition to a new life, Mircea focused on her dance studies, but she struggled in her classes. The anxiety of escaping from Mostar and feeling alienated as a refugee stifled any easy flowing movement. Fear and grief sat deep in her body. She couldn't move with the grace expected of classical dancers.
I felt how I danced and my body, the story told, wasn't really in line with what dance is or how dance is supposed to, make us feel. And a lot of times my body was either moving too tense or too big.
There had to be another way.
I have to see what is out there. How can I feel again empowered? And how can I really, you know, let the world see me with the eyes that I feel like I deserve to be seen with?
In Sweden, Mircea could apply for academic loans as young as 15, and that's exactly what she did. This lightened the financial burden on her family and allowed her to continue her dance studies throughout Europe. But even as she advanced, she came up against the same obstacle.
I was demoted. I was in a conservatory in Germany, 20 years old, and was demoted a class because I wasn't a prototype. But I never gave up because I felt, you know, I have everything that you need to be a dancer just because I approach movement differently. I was not going to give up. But this time we're turning it around. Because of the space is collapsing, right? We can't breathe. We're sending in opposition. So we want to fight the collapse.
I found out about Circuit des Bris, I think online, and I just related to it. And I contacted Mircea a few times. I was a little insistent. And then she finally invited me to a few rehearsals, and then I stayed.
Back at the Circuit des Bris rehearsal session, Ariane Bernier is one of the dancers who latched onto Mircea's style of movement. Contrary to what the dance schools in Europe saw as awkward or unacceptable in Mircea's dancing, Ariane was moved by it.
She really has her own voice. It's hard to relate it to any other work because it's kind of a mash or a combination of different influence that just give birth to this new kind of like way of moving, way of approaching movement. And it's sensitive, yet very powerful and strong and smart.
I came to a point where I was asked in Germany at the time, I lived in Germany also, to make work. And I had for the first time started choreographing something. There was something about when I had to make work and not dance, that my mind has sort of jumped to a kind of another state.
With these early projects in Germany, Marcia, then in her early 20s, began to shake off the self-consciousness and rejection that dogged her after leaving Bosnia as a child. The thought of creating dances that suited her body's own natural tendencies and abilities was exciting. It meant changing the game and not the player. But she needed to learn more about choreography, and she had to find some place where it was okay to be different.
And I found CalArts, California Institute of the Arts, and I was like, US, here I go, you know, the American dream. What a better opportunity, you know, to go to a new continent, to be a new person too, and be really who I am. I wanted to really discover myself in the world away from the refugee status and create dance.
The now 25-year-old college freshman found the warm weather and sunshine of California comfortingly familiar.
I felt I was back in Bosnia, in Mostar. You know, warm weather, sun, beaches, fun times. Wow, okay, I'm in the right place. That was like going back. I felt like I'd come full circle. It was like going back to my childhood.
But there was no returning to a more innocent time. Outside of the dance studios, Marcia was drawn to topics that echoed her family's experience of war and hardship.
And I learned about, you know, the Latin American Revolution and what happened in the U.S. during the 60s. And a lot of political movies, you know, that kind of had a lot to do with what had happened, you know, in my home country and colonization and post-colonization and all of these things that have a lot of influence on my art today.
In a politically conscious college atmosphere, she explored how the arts can play a restorative role in communities of immigrants and refugees like herself. After traveling to New York City for an audition, she realized the city had the energy she needed to develop her own dance technique and build a community around it.
I got off the flight and I remember I took the train and I stepped off and I said, oh, I can breathe. I can breathe. And that was my experience in New York. And there was this, in the air, this freedom that I had not felt ever in my life, moving through life as an immigrant.
One, two, three, four. Mm-hmm. How you wanna, yeah, where you wanna keep like pushing the wall and how you wanna come out of it.
We are in the studio number 9 at Joyce Theater Danny Studios, West 37th or 38th, as I'm bad with numbers. Still trying to get my bearings in New York.
Marcia and members of Circuit Debris, Yuki, yes. Ariane, and Monica Mordaunt, are winding down after rehearsal. Yuki and Ariane say working with Circuit Debris is very different from the formal training they received before joining.
I didn't move like this at all when I first came in. Movement research wasn't part of my like dance background. But what's very interesting to me now is that as an artist, she's always seeking for more. She's always hungry to like use her body in a different way, like I think that's what I'm really drawn into.
The way Marcia works with movement, she constantly is seeking. It's constantly movement research. So there's never like a final product. The work is constantly involving and shifting, and we discover things, and we take, and she takes, and she picks from the moment.
Monica says the dancers are aware of Marcia's experiences in Bosnia and as a refugee, but they don't really have verbal conversations about it. They've come to understand her story in the way they move with each other.
She brings it physically to us because we in no way can relate to her experiences, but trying to find our own experiences within that physicality so that we can have that connection.
We've talked really with our nervous system. We've talked with our muscles, with our bones. So I think there's an intimacy level, which is really rare, that we've developed together.
With her solo piece, Bosnian Born, Marcia is hoping for the same kind of communion with her audience that she's established with her dancers. She's working with the Bosnian folk rhythms that she feels are ever present in her body, and the music of composers James Brandon Lewis and Vesna Krizic, as well as the films of Aitor Mendilibar. With the support of these elements, she hopes her dancing will show how her country's cultural and political history frames her own.
It's not about blaming or saying this is why the war happened. It's more beyond just, okay, these people are savages, they kill each other every 50 years. You know, so I'm trying to give a little bit of a context why it's been such a historically troubled place, why there has been a lot of conflict. I am interested in giving an insight to what it means to, you know, as a woman, my heritage is Muslim, even though, you know, I grew up not practicing, my parents are atheists. What it means to have that heritage moving through the Western society.
Ultimately, Mircea would like you to feel her story the same way she does, in bone and muscle, in physical expression. When she senses an audience responding instinctively to her dancing, that's better than any applause.
I love when I go into theater, you get this audience and everybody's hunched back, and suddenly in the middle of the work, you see the spine just like grow out of the tailbone, and it's just like everybody's straight, everybody's ready to move. Having that physical reaction from people, it's really amazing for me.
You can find out more about Mircea and her work at circuitdebris.org. I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez, producer of this series, and our editor is John Rudolph. John is the executive producer of Feet in Two Worlds. Special thanks to Rachel Bongiorno. The music in this episode is by James Brandon Lewis, Visnya Krizik, Lee Roseveard, Inaktera, Yurisa Yelich, Kendrick Lamar, Patrick Grant, and Steve Combs. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. Our supporters include the David and Catherine Moore Family Foundation and listeners like you. Feet in Two Worlds is a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at fi2w.org.